This was a different Israel. This wasn't the Israel that the Lord brought out of Egypt. This was an Israel that had turned away from the things of God. They have forgotten how God was so good to their forefathers. And we read in this chapter how God brought different, smit them with blastings, and he brought pestilence among them. But still they would not repent. They had gone after other gods. They had done things that were contrary to the word of God. And we read four times in verse 9, it tells us at the end, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Verse 10, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Verse 11, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And you know, Isaiah sees this, and Isaiah gives a warning to the church in Israel. And he said to the people in Israel, "Prepare to meet thy God." In other words, the judgment of God was coming against the people of Israel because they had turned away from their God. And you know, my friend, as I look across our country, as I look across Great Britain, I can say, Great Britain, prepare to meet thy God. Because Great Britain has turned away from God. I bring it closer down to our own hometown in Northern Ireland. And I say to our people in Northern Ireland, prepare to meet your God. Because you've turned away from the things of God. You've turned away from following God. And you've let sin rule in the land. My friend, I would bring it closer to you tonight. My friend, in the meeting without Christ, I would say to you, prepare to meet God. Because if you don't prepare to meet God, someday you will stand at that great white throne judgment that we read about. You know, tonight I want to speak just on three simple things about preparing to meet God. First of all, I want us to see we need to prepare personally. Secondly, I want us to see we need to prepare properly. And last of all, I want us to see we need to prepare promptly. You know, my friend, tonight, you need to prepare to meet God personally. The world would say to us, how can you meet God personally? Well, the world would say you have to go to some great professor. You would need to go to some great Bible school. You need to go to some bishop or archbishop. You need to go to some priest, or you need to go to some great person like that. My friend, you don't need to go to any. I have in my hand God's precious word. And the Bible tells us how we can meet God personally. We read in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Who's speaking? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to come to God, you need to come through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I lifted a little track a couple of days ago, and it told the story of this man, this soldier in the Civil War in America. And he got word that his wife was dying, and his wife wanted him to come and see her before she died. He went up to see the general, and he went into the office, and they said, "You have no chance of seeing the general. We're going to the front tomorrow, and we need every single man. You have no chance of seeing him." The soldier went out heavy-hearted, and he stood, and a couple of hours later he went in again, and he said, I need to see the general. I need to get home." They said, "You have no chance of seeing the general. You'll not see him." The big soldier was standing under a tree weeping. And a little curly-haired boy came up to him. And he said, "Sir, what's wrong?" Big soldier said, "Son, you wouldn't understand." And the wee boy said, "Sir, someday I'll be a soldier and I'll understand." So the soldier told him the story. He said, "My wife's dying. She wants me home. I'm trying to get in to see the general to get home. He's the only one can get me home, but I can't get in to see him. What am I going to do? And the wee boy looked at him and he smiled up. He says, I'll get you in to see the general. And the soldier says, how can you get me in to see the general? He says, the general's my father. And the wee boy brought that man in. And the general said, certainly, you can go home. And he went home to see his wife. My friend, if you want to get to heaven tonight, my friend, in the meeting without Christ, the only way is through the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ will get you into heaven. Just like that little boy got the man in to see the general, and he got home. If you come and trust the Lord as your Saviour, you'll get home to see the Father. You know, you can't depend on anybody else's salvation. You know, my friend, tonight, if you had a terrible disease in your life, and I had an antidote that could cleanse your body from that awful disease that you were dying of, you wouldn't send anybody else to the doctor. You would go personally yourself. But you know, my friend, you have something in your body tonight, and it's an awful disease called sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if you don't have that thing dealt in your life, the wages of sin is death. What is the antidote for sin? It's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, friend, tonight you need to come personally to the Savior. You need to realize personally that you're a sinner. You need to realize that you're a guilty sinner, that you need to cry to him for salvation. We talked this morning about Naaman the leper. And you heard me telling the story how he was told to go into the river and dip into the river 7 times. And Naaman, he said, must I go into this old dirty river of Jordan? Can I not go back to Syria to the river far nicer? You know, he didn't want to go God's way. He didn't want to come God's way. And that's the sad thing tonight. There are many in our churches tonight. There are many in Northern Ireland tonight. And they don't want to come God's way of salvation. They want to come their own way. Now, if Naaman hadn't have went into that water personally, you know, this great general had many servants. And he had many soldiers who loved him. And I'm sure if he had said to one of them, will you go into that river for me? They would all have done it. But my friend, he still would have had this awful leprosy. He had to go in personally. And the Bible tells us when he went in, on the 7th time, he came up and he was perfect. Oh, friend, tonight, you need to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've heard tonight in Revelation, it'll be a personal judgment. Who is the person that's judging at this great white throne? Well, the Bible tells us it's the Lord Jesus Christ will be the personal judge. You know, some of the courts that we have in Northern Ireland, you don't need to go. You can send a barrister or a solicitor to represent you. But you know, at this great white throne judgment, my friend, if you haven't got your sins dealt with under the precious blood, you heard what the Bible said, the books will be open and the sins that you thought were covered up will be brought. And you'll know it was a righteous judgment, what God says about you. There was a young man and he was riding his bicycle one day and it was near tram lines, a young teenager. And as he was riding his bike, his back of the wheel got stuck in the tram lines and there was a tram coming. And this gentleman was walking and he saw the danger the young man was in and he grabbed the young man and pulled him to safety. Of course, the tram came and wrecked the bike. That young teenager had to go to court for he had got into trouble at another time. And he was sitting in court and all the evidence was brought and he was found guilty. And he was told by the judge to stand up. And the judge looked at him and he says, young man, do you know me? And the young man looked at him and he says, no, sir. He says, well, young man, yesterday I was your Saviour, but today I'm your judge. He was the man, the judge was the man that pulled the young man to safety. And he said to the young man, today, yesterday I was your Saviour, but today I'm your judge. I have to give judgment on you. And he gave judgment on him. My friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ could be your Saviour. If you reject him and walk through that door again, tomorrow he could be your judge. You know, it'll be a personal sentence. You'll stand personally before the Saviour. And you'll hear that awful thing, depart from me, I never knew you. And you know, my friend, it'll be a personal hell forever. Oh, what a tragedy from a gospel meeting for an opportunity of having your sins dealt with to the great white throne judgment and to hell forever. My friend, you need to come personally to the Saviour. But you know, secondly, you need to come properly. You need to come properly. I'm sure if we went into Londonderry and we went into some of these estates and we went round and we asked the people, what are you depending on your soul salvation? This would be some of the things they would say. Well, I was baptised into the church when I was a child, and I'm now a child of God. I'm a good person. I don't do anybody any harm. I go to church every Sunday. I pay into the church. I'm a good neighbour. I like everybody. You know, I like reading the Bible, and I like listening to singing. You know, I'm a Sunday school teacher. My friend, if you're depending on any of these for your soul salvation, listen to what God's word says in Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to attend church. It's good to be a good neighbour. It's good to help financially in the church. It's good to try and be a good person. But my friend, if you're depending on your soul's salvation to get you into heaven for any of these things, the Bible tells me that neither is there salvation in any other. None of these things are any good. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Saviour. You know, the great Spurgeon preached in London. And one Sunday, there was a little maid who worked for one of the nobility in London. And that little maid came to Spurgeon's meeting. And after the meeting, Spurgeon said, anyone that wants to speak to me about their soul can come and speak to me in my study. This little maid, who was called Molly, came in and she said, Mr. Spurgeon, I've been coming every Sunday and I now realise I'm a sinner. I realise I need Christ as my Saviour. Can you help me? And Molly got saved. She went home and the lady of the house saw a change in Molly's life. She watched her for months and she saw what a change in this little maid. She said to herself, I must go and hear this man Spurgeon and see what happened to Molly. So this great lady came to Spurgeon's meeting, and after the meeting, Spurgeon said the same thing. If anyone's interested to speak to me about their soul, I'll be in my study. This lady walked in, and Spurgeon knew her immediately. She was so well known. Lady so-and-so, I'm delighted to see you. If I hadn't knew you were in the meeting, I would have welcomed you. She said, Mr. Spurgeon, my little maid Molly, she was a rascal in our house. But she came to you, and now my husband and the rest of the staff see such a change in Molly. Can you tell me what happened? And of course, Spurgeon told her about the gospel. That lady looked at Spurgeon, and she said, Mr. Spurgeon, do I have to come Molly's way? And Mr. Spurgeon said, dear, we all have to come that way. We all have to realise we're guilty, hell-deserving sinners. We have to call on Christ to be washed in his precious blood. And she jumped to her feet in a rage. And she says, if I have to come Molly's way, I'll not come at all. And she went out the door. Rage. The rage and pride in her life. She didn't want to come Molly's way. My friend tonight, that dear lady, I'm sure, is maybe in a lost eternity. All because of pride. We talked about Nicodemus this morning. Politically, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Socially, he was a member of Israel. Religiously, he was a model Pharisee. But the Lord said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. My friend, I would say to you again in this meeting, just what the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you're not saved, you must be born again. Acts 3 and 19 says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. The old hymn says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, man and woman lost in sin needs the way. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way. Man and woman lost in sin needs the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. Man and woman lost in sin needs the life. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the life. My friend, can I ask you tonight, are you under the blood? Under the blood, we have redemption. We read about that in Ephesians 1 and 17. Under the blood, we are saved from the wrath. We read about it in Romans 5 and 9. Under the blood, we are reconciled to God in Colossians 1 and 20. Under the blood, our sins are forgiven. We read that in 1 John 1 and 7. Under the blood, we're justified. Romans 3 and 24. Under the blood, we're brought nigh to God. Ephesians 2. But praise God, under the blood, we have eternal life. John 6, 53 and 57. My friend, how do we come under the blood? We sung it tonight about Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found in Calvary. You know, Calvary is the Hebrew word for the place of the skull. Golgotha is the Latin word for the place of the skull. You know, when we come to Calvary tonight, we see there's darkness at Calvary. From 6 to 9, the ninth hour, from noon to 3 p.m., there was darkness over Calvary. At Calvary, there was a declaration. The declaration was at the cross, finished. The Lord Jesus Christ called finished. But you know, at Calvary, there was deliverance for you and me. There was deliverance for you and me. The soldier, we're told in Matthew 27, the centurion who ordered the Savior to be nailed to the tree. The centurion who told them to lift that tree and sink it into the ground. The centurion that told the soldier to put the spear into the Savior's side. What did he say? He said, truly, this was the Son of God. You know, my friend, I was reading Isaiah 52 and 14. And you know, it really shook me when I read this. His very visage was marred more than any man. His visage refers to his appearance or his face, which was marred, so disfigured by the beatings and scourgings that he was barely recognized as a human being. Just think of it. Our blessed Savior was unrecognizable. He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. And he suffered and died alone. Was it for me? He bowed his head upon the cross and freely shed his precious blood, that crimson tide. Was it for me? The Savior died. Oh, praise God if you can say it was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. Do you know the Saviour tonight, my friend? Just think of it. That lovely face was marred more than any man's. Oh, you need to come personally to the Saviour. You need to come properly. But my friend, you need to come promptly. I told you this morning how I told my Sunday school teacher, I'm only 16. I'm going out to work. I've plenty of time to get saved. I'm as good as any of you. I went to Sunday school. I went to children's meetings. I went to different things. My old Sunday school teacher was able to show me from God's word that all my righteousness were like filthy rags. And he said to me, Tommy, you need to come and trust the Saviour now. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And my old Sunday school teacher left this with me. It's found in Genesis. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And you know, sinner friend, if God's spirit is striving with you tonight, you should praise God that he's still striving with you, because there could come a day that he'll stop striving with you. My old Sunday school teacher said to me, Tommy, if God is striving with you, you praise God about that. But there's a day that come he might stop striving with you. A little book told the story of Queen Victoria. And in Balmoral, she used to go round the pensioners in their cottages. Now, there were two ladies lived together. There were two widows in adjoining cottages. And both the ladies fell out with one another. And one went out in a rage and she said, I'll never speak to my friend again. I want nothing to do with her. I'm going into my home. And she sat beside her fire. And her rage got even worse. And she said, I'll never speak to that woman again. She's blackened my name. I don't want to know her. And then she said, I'll go to my bed. So she went to her bed and she was lying in bed. And she heard these footsteps coming down her pathway. And she heard a gentle knock on the door. I'm not answering to that woman. She can knock all night. She heard a wee bit louder. I'm not answering her. She can answer, knock all night. She heard, and then all of a sudden, she heard footsteps walking down the path. Because of her rage, she fell asleep. And like us all, a good night's sleep, the rage had left her. And she said, look, I'm just as bad as my friend. I'm going to go in and make up with her. And the two of them met each other, and they threw their arms around each other, and they hugged each other, and said, I'm sorry, I'm just as bad. And the lady said, look, I'm sorry I didn't open the door to you last night. She said, I heard you knocking gently. And then I heard you knocking a wee bit more. And I heard you knocking the third time. And then you walked away. She says, I wasn't at your door last night. She says, but I'll tell you who was at your door. Queen Victoria was at your door. And she walked, I seen her walking down your path. And she knocked your door. No answer. And she knocked the second time, and there was no answer. And she knocked the third time, and there was no answer. And Queen Victoria walked away. And that lady said in her gospel tract, she said, sinner friend, if you're reading this, Queen Victoria never darkened my door again. I never saw her again. And she went on to say that maybe the King of Kings, Lord Jesus, is knocking in your heart's door. And he knocks gently. And you say, I'm not letting him in. And then he knocks a wee bit more. And you say, he's definitely not getting in. And then he knocks a bit louder. And then he walks away. And she said, in her little text, she says, my friend, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Then she says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And then she closes by saying, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh friend, tonight, Is the King of Kings knocking on your heart's door? Maybe he's been knocking on your heart's door for many, many years, and you've said, I'm not letting him in. But you know, tonight, my friend, it could be the night that he might walk away and you'll never hear him again. You know, there are only two ways. One is the broad way that leads to destruction, and one is the narrow leading to life. There are only two classes of people in this meeting tonight. One is a believer and the other is an unbeliever. There are only two deaths. There's the death of the righteous and there's the death of the wicked. There are only two places, one of which you'll go to, either heaven or hell. Can I ask you tonight, like Amos, can I urge you to prepare to meet thy God? Prepare to meet him personally. Prepare to meet him properly. Prepare to meet him promptly. All you need to do is just where you're sitting, shoot a prayer to heaven and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a guilty sinner. You died for me. Wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood, and help me to live for thee. And you, my friend, he'll do it. He'll save you. And if you've done that, please let us know and let some of the elders know. But you know, my friend, you can escape this great white throne judgment by coming to the Saviour.